In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Goedemorgen. Ik vind het weer fantastisch om Hour of Power te mogen presenteren. En dat deel ik met het team van Hour of Power, die het geweldig vinden dat er elke zondag Hour of Power kan worden uitgezonden. En we vinden het ook fijn dat we zoveel positieve reacties krijgen van ouderen en van jongeren. Dit programma gaat over de liefde van God. En daarover spreekt ook Bobby Schuller in Shepherd Grove. Hij spreekt over de namen van God. God is niet alleen liefde, maar, zegt Bobby, en daar gaat het over, God is ook rechtvaardig. En dan ben ik best wel een beetje enthousiast. Ik weet niet of er veel voetbalfans kijken bij Hour of Power. Maar we hebben een topvoetballer als gast. Hij speelt als midvoor bij Feyenoord. En is zeer geliefd. Niet alleen bij de fans, maar ook bij zijn team. Om wie die is, om zijn integriteit. En ook om het prachtige voetbal die hij speelt. En we gaan het niet hebben zometeen over de ernstige knieblessure die hij heeft opgelopen. Daar weet hij goed mee om te gaan. Maar over wat voor hem belangrijk is in het leven. Hij is hier samen met zijn vrouw, top Feyenoordspeler Erik Botteguin en Melina. Goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Ja, wat leuk om een stervoetballer op de bank te hebben samen met je mooie vrouw.
Ja, dank u wel.
Ja.
Goed om hier te zijn ook.
Ja, jullie gaan ook zondagmorgen naar de kerk?
Als wij de niet op zondag speel, dan krijgen we de kans, dan gaan we zeker naar de kerk.
Ja. Wat is voor jou het belangrijkste in het leven?
Mijn familie natuurlijk. En ik denk dat mijn familie.
Ja. Ja. En je hebt een mooi zoontje?
Mijn zoontje, ja.
Hoe heet hij?
Rafael.
Rafael. Bijbelse naam?
Ja.
Ja.
Klopt.
We gaan eerst naar, als je het goed vindt, naar de kerk in Californië. En dan komen we zo meteen bij jullie terug.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning.
Yes, and welcome, church family. We are joyed to have you here with us. We are joyed to have you tuned in with us today. We love you. You know, I believe a big reason that God loves faith so much is because it is the reflective weapon against all those lies the enemy speaks to you. God is not pointing his finger and fault finding in you. He is speaking love and life over you. Amen?
Amen.
Would you turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you and say, God loves you and so do I.
Thank you.
You may be seated. In preparation for Bobby's message, the words of our Lord found in Romans. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Church family, God loves using imperfect people to do impossible things. Amen.
With us today is A.J. Raphael. A.J. is an extremely talented artist and performer with a massive following on YouTube and other social platforms. I think you had over 140 million views on YouTube. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's just that platform. He's remained strong in his faith. He continues to share his joy through music with his thousands of fans. So would you please welcome with me AJ Raphael. So glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, let's just start there. I mean, how did you... There's this thing called the internet that allows sort of everyday people to bypass publishers and record labels and reach a humongous audience just because of sheer talent. And how did you build such a big following?
Oh, man. You know, I wrote my first song when I was 14. And that was quite a while ago now. But I started on this website called MySpace. That was 2004. And in 2006, this website came out called YouTube. But over the years, my YouTube following started growing, and you know, there was this thing called subscribers, which I didn't even know was a thing until I reached 1,000. And you know, over the years, just being able to, with a click of a mouse, to be able to reach places like the Philippines and in Australia and Canada, where I've toured and played music for people, you know, and what a blessing to be able to just travel the world and because of the internet.
A big influence for your music was your dad.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, my dad. Wow. What a guy. My family is musical, and I feel like a huge part of that is because of him. And I started playing piano when I was 5. My mom says I was 2.5, but it's totally unbelievable, so I say 5.
Yeah, totally. That sounds like something a mom would say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But my dad was my first teacher, you know, and he taught me a lot about music. And I grew up in a choir setting, so being here and watching the conductor on both sides really reminds me of home and growing up in the choir and things like that. And my mom and dad were both there. My dad was the pianist and conductor. And unfortunately, he passed away when I was 10. And it was a very hard time. I mean, I remember even stepping up to play piano at his funeral, you know, and that's, we took over his job. My mom conducted and I played piano for the church. I just want to continue his legacy. They came from the same city in the Philippines, and I'm moving here to, you know, provide a better life for their future children, which was me and my sister. So I'm very grateful for that.
AJ, you've gone through a lot in your life, but faith has been an important part of that journey too, hasn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of it does have to do with the musical aspect. You know, I believe that when I'm singing and when I'm playing at church, you know, I'm like, I feel truly connected to God, and it's music has been like a soundtrack throughout all the loss that I've experienced. The song that I'm about to sing, Lord, I Need You, was helping me a lot during my uncle's recent passing. So yeah, music plays a big role in everything. And I, you know, my dad played for all kinds of churches. You know, it was really amazing to see him do that, and to see his love for the Lord through his music.
Well, we can't wait to hear your music. But you can check him out on YouTube. And you know, I just love your heart, and it shines through your personality. It shines through your music. And we're just so lucky to have you in the house today. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome AJ Raphael.
Every hour I need
Lord, I need thee every hour. Ik heb u ieder uur nodig. Jij vertelt over je man, dat vind ik ontzettend leuk. You told about your husband, because you speak Dutch, but we agreed to speak in English.
Yeah, it's easier.
That your husband is praying under the shower.
It's true. It's like, I think it's his moment, you know.
To pray.
To pray, because, you know, God is not inside walls. So I can seek for God like in the shower, I can seek for God like in the kitchen cooking, I can seek for God everywhere. Yeah. So this is like his time with God, he likes to pray in the shower.
Yeah. Waar ben je getrouwd met deze mooie vrouw?
Oh, zij is alles voor mij. Ik ken haar sinds ik 6 jaar ben.
Ja?
Ja, in de harde op de school. En ja, toen ik 16 jaar was, heb ik haar weer ontmoet in de kerk. En zij heeft me geholpen om de juiste richting naar Jezus te vinden.
Ja. Ging je naar de kerk omdat je vrouw daar was, of niet?
Ja, ja.
Ja?
Oh. Ja, zij,
so
ja.
We went to church for you.
Yeah, he went. First it was. But he told me later then.
Ja, maar ze heeft me gebeld. Ja. Ik kon niet nee zeggen. En ik ging en ik vond heel mooi, heel leuk. En ik vond haar ook mooi.
Benita, what is so special about your husband?
That's a lot of things. Really.
Not 5.
Yeah. Keep like talking about an hour. Yeah. But he has a very good heart. He's generous, really generous person. So when I see like he sees someone that's in need, he always try to help these people. So it's really like nice to see that in him. He's always like trying to help. He's always with the open heart. So
it made me love fall in love with him like this way he is.
Je bent een geliefde voetballer. En van dat je aardig en vriendelijk en charmant bent. Geen haantje de voorste, zoals dat heet. Maar op het veld ben je meedogenloos en keihard. Je wilt winnen. Ja, zullen we eens kijken naar een aantal van de goals die hij gescoord heeft bij Feyenoord?
Feyenoord en daar Bottingen. Bottingen met de voorsprong voor Feyenoord. Daar is dan de 5-0 van Bottingen.
Als jij scoorde, dan ging je even lekker naar de tribune, maar dan deed je ook zo.
Ja.
Dat betekent wat?
Ja, dat betekent dat ik ben dankbaar aan God dat ik kon scoren.
Ja. Wat maakt dat jij zo'n goede voetballer bent?
Ik ben een speler die alles geeft voor het team, die met de passie, strijd en alles wat ik heb probeer ik om elke wedstrijd te laten zien. En op mijn manier om te spelen als een verdediger. Ik wil mijn duels te winnen en mijn ploeg te helpen.
Ja. Wat er zo moeilijk lijkt bij voetbal, als je scoort, wat jij regelmatig doet, dan ben je de held van het veld. Maar je hebt ook een paar keer fouten gemaakt. Ja. En dan hebben mensen ook gelijk een mening, hè?
Ja, zeker, zeker. Volgende dag op de krant staat alle kritiek en mensen altijd met een mening over jou.
Kun je er tegen?
Ja, wel. Ja, ja, hoor erbij. Ja. Als je goed speelt, dan praat ze goed. Maar als je slecht speelt, dan vergeet ze snel wat je hebt goed gedaan.
Ja, zo is de wereld. Dit jaar was je bijna bij de verkiezingen van voetballen voor het jaar. Had je de gouden schoen gehad? Je hebt de zilveren schoen gekregen. Ook een hele eer, toch?
Ja, zeker. Zeker. Dat is een mooi compliment. Vorig jaar hebben we kampioen geworden. En dan krijg je ook een individuele prijs. Ja. Is een mooi jaar geweest.
Ja. Nou is de voetbalwereld eigenlijk in een enorm contrast met de christelijke wereld.
Ik ben volger van Jezus en mijn lifestyle is wat ik wil naar de andere mensen laten zien.
Ja, want wat is het om een volgeling van Jezus te zijn?
I fell in love with Jesus. I understood what he did for me. I was like going in the way of death. And then Jesus showed up. He died for me. He rose up. And now like, what can I give for a God that has everything, you know? I just can give my heart. And I say, okay, now you tell me, what should I do, God? Because like, I need direction. So I think to be a follower of Jesus is to know Jesus. It's understand what he wants. It's be like do your best to be like what he wants. Because we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But his grace, it's overwhelming. So I think to be a follower of Jesus, it's really understand what whom he is and what he wants for you and do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
as good as you play soccer, your wife can share the gospel.
Ja, dat klopt.
Yeah. Jullie missie is ook, hè, naast dat je een goede voetballer wil zijn en jij een goede moeder, a great wife for your husband. Jullie missie is om ook het geloof in God en Jezus bekend te maken. En jongeren te laten zien, het is niet gek als je gelooft.
Ja, zeker. Wij zijn een ploeg. En ik ben een voetballer. Dus ik kan dit gebruiken om mensen naar mij te komen. En zij is een goede speeches.
And, goodness, she could be an evangelist. She could be on the pulpit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that doen we samen, yeah.
Yeah. Wat is jouw favoriete Bijbelgedeelte?
Ik denk dat van David, when he was like announced to be king, you know, when the prophet came there to his house, trying to find that he was the one, his father called all the sons and didn't expect anything from him because he was small, he was like looking from outside, he was not like the guy to be the king. And but God doesn't look to that. God looks to inside, to your heart. And I think this is amazing that sometimes I think also, who am I to be here? And why God is putting me in this situation? And I'm nothing without him. And I see that he is not looking for what I can do, but how what I am, what I can be.
Do you see that that you can reach young people to your testimony and through your life?
Yeah, I really believe I can, because I passed my whole life in the church. When we had a problem, like I had like a time that my mother was really sick, and then all my friends went to my house to pray, you know, for my mother. So they said she's really okay, but that time she wasn't. And I think like it's the place I made friends. Real friends for my whole life.
And that's an important point. Huh?
Yeah, it is.
Because the church is also a meeting. Like if you see 60 or 80,000 fans in a stadium, mm-hmm. it's like a community. Mm-hmm. But the community of the church goes deeper.
It goes deeper. You can share your problems. You can share who you are. You have like someone to guide you through the Bible, like your pastor or something like this. And you learn how to go deeper with God. So I think like people can see that it's possible, you know. It's not like you don't need to look like a Christian, but you can be a Christian, you know. It's your life. It's not like what you wear or how your dress is or if I use makeup or not. You know, it's about like who I am and who I am in Jesus. So I think like they can see that's possible. It's really possible. Yeah. Like you can really spend a life in Jesus and they will never regret.
Yeah. What's your favorite Bible verse or Bible piece?
I have a lot. But the Bible piece that I like the most is like about Anna, that she goes praying to the Lord every year because she couldn't have a son. And I see myself in her situation because I couldn't have a son. That's why the name of my son is Raphael. That means the God who heals. And I know how she felt, you know, like, oh God, you're not going to give me a child. And once I told God, I will keep loving you, even if you don't give me a child. And 1 month before, sorry, I got emotional with this, but like 1 month before, the doctor told me, your ovaries are not working at all. And then in the next month, I was pregnant. Wow. Yeah.
Praise God.
So yeah, praise God. Wow. Like that's why I chose Raphael.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really meaningful, right?
What a story, eh? Yeah. 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 God is good.
Zeker.
Yeah. Always.
What will you do na voetbal?
Yeah, I...
Traveling evangelist with your wife?
Yeah, why not? Now, of course, if we... Wherever we God send us, we're going to be... We're going to keep talking about Jesus and show our life how we are. So.
Yeah, it's a great interview. It's in Dutch, it's in English. It's
mix it everything.
Yeah. You can speak Italian, Portuguese.
Yes. Yeah.
What is your dream?
My dream. When we came to Zwolle first time, we wrote all of our dreams in a paper. And everything like I ever wanted, because of course we have like things that we want for our career, for our life, But actually, we came like in front of the Lord and we just wrapped the paper. And we put like a blank paper and we prayed. And I was really crying because I was giving up my dreams and say, now you tell me what are my dreams. So I cannot tell you, but I'm still living day by day, you know? And every day God's telling me something new or showing me someone new that I need to help or something that I need to do. So every day it's my dream by faith, you know?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest in the Hour of Power. You believe in the power of God, and thank you for sharing that message with in my country and with so many young people who are looking for a goal and a purpose in life. You can say it in English, you can say it in Italian or Portuguese, but look into the camera, and what do you want to say to Dutch young people?
Well, yeah. I would like to say to you guys to, if you choose to follow Jesus, you can be sure that's gonna be the most precious thing you can have in your life, because you're gonna experience something that's unbelievable, that makes you feel so happy, so filled every day, and go for it. Don't give up on your dreams.
People ask me, like, what if I lose everything? And I would say, like, you know, if I lose everything, at least I have Jesus. Because be a Christian, it's not that you're not going to pass through storms, but you don't need to pass through it alone anymore. You have someone to hold your hands. That's my message.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wel, heel hartelijk bedankt dat je hier was. Geweldig. Ja,
dank u wel.
Ik vind je echt een held van het veld. Ik ben niet helemaal echt een voetbalfan. Maar als ik naar wedstrijden kijk en ik zie jou, dan ben ik echt trots.
Ik heb ook een cadeautje voor je.
Hé, hey, kijk.
Kijk.
Nummer 33?
33.
Ja, ja, kijk. Oh, die ga ik echt met trots dragen.
Oh, mooi.
Kijk. Zo, mooi zeg. Hier maak je me echt blij mee.
Ah, leuk.
Ja, ja, ja. Maar ik heb ook wat voor jullie. Okay. Net de tijd, ja. Happiness according to Jesus. Bobby Schuller, the preacher of the church. What it means to be blessed.
Thank you.
Voor jou.
Thank you.
En deze kaarten zijn voor jou. Weet je, God heeft al een naam. Ik ben gerechtigheid, ik ben de goede herder. Ik ben je genezer. Dus ik geef jou de hele stapel. Kun je ze in het stadion uitdelen? Als je er meer nodig hebt, zo'n 50.000, zeg het maar, dan kom ik ze brengen.
Is goed.
Oké. Okay. En dit boek. God zegt, I am, ik ben. En God bij zijn naam kennen. Het is een boek met bijbelteksten en verklaringen over de naam van God. Dus die geef ik ook aan jou.
Dank u wel.
Hey. Ja. Nou, ongelooflijk bedankt. Hey, hier gaan ze in mijn familie om vechten, hè? Ja, ja, ja. Dank je wel. Ik vond het ontzettend fijn om met jullie te mogen spreken. Fijn dat jullie messengers, boodschappers zijn van de hoop die in jullie leeft. En ik vind het geweldig dat jullie uit durven komen voor wie jullie zijn. En dat koning voetbal leuk is en voetbal leuk is, maar dat Jezus nummer 1 in jullie leven is.
Zeker.
Dank je wel. Blijf lange getuigen van hem. Oké. Okay.
The Glory of Christmas. Een ware muzikale kerstbeleving.
Whatever your heart is looking for, it's looking for God.
Samen kerstbeleven. Een nog altijd actuele kerstboodschap.
That thing you've been waiting for has come.
Met muziek van Dwight Dissels, Joke Buijs en band. En een groot samengesteld Hour of Power Core, begeleid door niemand minder dan Don Newen. En vanuit Los Angeles, Amerika, een speciale videoboodschap van Bobby Schuller.
When Jesus arrives, everything's going to be different.
Presentatie, Jan van den Bos. Kom 16 december ook naar de Eusebiuskerk in Arnhem en beleef met Hour of Power het ware kerstverhaal. Bestel nu uw tickets op hourofpower.nl/kerst.
Erik, je bent de drijvende kracht als de Children Asking. Je woont ook in het hart van de favelas in Brazilië. Wat mooi dat een voetballer als Erik Botteguin ambassadeur is.
Ja, daar zijn wij ook buitengewoon verheugd over, want je hebt vaak iemand nodig met enige naamsbekendheid om ook je project voor het voetlicht te krijgen.
Wat doe jij?
Wij zorgen voor onderwijs- en evangelisatieprojecten voor kinderen in de sloppenwijken van Brazilië.
Dat is heftig hè, om daar te wonen.
Het is buitengewoon heftig om daar te wonen. Het zijn gebieden waar eigenlijk de overheid nauwelijks meer invloed heeft.
Ja.
Ze staan,
drugs, wapengeweld.
Ja, ze staan onder controle van drugskartels die in feite daar de dienst uitmaken.
Ja. Hoe komt zo'n Hollander daar terecht?
Ik was jaren terug was ik aan het werk voor de Verenigde Naties en UNESCO. En toen haalde ik wat informatie bij met interviews met die kinderen. En op dat moment sprak God tot mij. Erik, ik wil dat jij de rest van jouw leven aan deze kinderen wijdt.
En, dat doe je
en als God dat tegen jou zegt, dan kun je of is het maar ja of nee. Een tussenweg is er dan niet meer.
Je doet dat geweldig. Ik ben erg van onder de indruk. Als ik nou vraag om één voorbeeld te noemen van een kind, wat schiet je dan te binnen?
Nou, er zijn er talloze, maar wat heel aansprekelijk is, wat ook iets vertelt over de omgeving, is dat we hadden een project en er kwam op een gegeven moment een jochie binnen onder de blauwe plekken en striemen en die was heel duidelijk in elkaar geslagen. Nou was dat een zoontje van de drugsbaas uit de favela. Dus de projectleider die vroeg, joh, wat is er met jou aan de hand geweest? Want ik heb je een paar weken gemist. Ja, zegt hij, dat zei mijn vader ook. Ik was een paar weken niet naar het project geweest. En hij heeft me weer terug naar het project geschopt. Want hij vindt het kennelijk belangrijk dat hij het woord van God leert. Nou. Dus die werd met geweld werd hij het project ingestuurd. Dat geeft aan dat die drugsdealers, die weten heel goed wat wel of niet goed is. Als ik in sommige favelas kom, dan zijn de drugsdealers die staan er met mitrailleurs gewapend, staan ze de boel in de gaten te houden. Dan klemmen ze hun mitrailleur tussen hun benen, want dan moet ik beslissen met hun bidden. En dan heb ik met ze gebeden en dan komt er nog eentje aanrennen van, hey, pastoor, je bent vergeten, ik moet met mij ook nog gebeden worden. Dat is absurd, maar die mensen die hebben zo'n diep verlangen naar een godheid die om hen zorgt, die naar hen kijkt, die hen beschermt.
Wat mooi dat die andere Erik daar ook achter staat.
Ja, dat is buitengewoon, we zijn er heel erg blij om. En hij komt uit een totaal andere atmosfeer in Sao Paulo, niet zo gek ver bij ons vandaan. Maar hij kent het natuurlijk heel erg goed en hij vindt het ook geweldig dat Nederlanders, waar hij dus nu redelijk beroemd is, zich voor de kinderen uit zijn land gaan inzetten. En dat ondersteunt hij ook van harte.
Ik wens je heel veel zegen toe.
Dankjewel.
Thank you.
Jocelyn Sarshad, thank you. We appreciate you so much. Say this with me. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I am not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Thanks. You can be seated. Man, that's an encouraging thought. You're not what you do. What you do matters. But what you do as a Christian comes from a place of having your identity being in the very fact that you are loved despite your imperfections and your shortcomings. Jesus taught us that if we live by faith, if we take a step by faith in the direction of the thing that scares us, that we could move a mountain, that we could walk on water, that we could change the world. I believe it because I've seen it and I've lived it. Maybe you've lived it. Maybe you remember a time in your life when you were scared or worried, or you thought, I can't do that. I can't do that. God might be asking me to do that, but there's no way someone like me could do that. And instead of living in doubt and shame and fear, you instead lived in courage and faith, and you stepped in the direction of the thing that you were scared of. Do you remember how that felt? It probably felt pretty good. To say to your fear or to your shame, I won't let you control my life, but I will do something that God wants me to do, and not trust in my abilities, but trust in His. That's why Jesus is always talking about faith, because Jesus was always calling people that were told in their religious circles that God didn't want anything to do with them. And those are the very people that Jesus went to. He had very normal people, some of them teenagers, some of them old people, some of them sick people, were following Him, and He was teaching them to walk by faith and not have pride in their works, but to have faith, to believe that despite all their shortcomings and their imperfections, they could do something great for God. God loves using imperfect people to do impossible things. He's going to use you today. Just have faith. He's going to use you. I can't wait to see it and do something great. Faith doesn't mean believing in me. Faith means believing the God who lives in me. I know many of us go, I don't know, how could I believe in someone like me? Well, God believes in you, and God is giving you everything you need to succeed. And so, yeah, you might have shortcomings, and you might have weaknesses, and you might have sickness, but it's by God's power and God's name that we're able to do great things. So to have faith is to have faith in the name of God. It is a good name. It is a strong name. It is a chain-breaking name. And all you have to do is respond with faith. I know you will. As we've studied these names, we've found how these names were actually located in stories. We find that all the way from Abraham until just before Jesus, you see that God is working to redeem His good creation and to save His children through a family. He picks a family whose father's name is Abraham. And He says to Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and here's my promise. You are going to be so blessed so that you can be a blessing to the whole world. I am going to make your posterity outnumber all the sands of the seashore and all the stars in the sky. And yeah, Abraham, you're 100 and your wife is 90 and you have no children, but I'm going to do this through you. And you just watch how Abraham responds in faith. Now, you hear a story like this. If God's going to choose one guy on the whole planet, one guy to do this through, He's probably going to be like pretty much a saint. I mean, the world's greatest human being, right? That's who God's going to pick. Abraham, when he went to Egypt with his wife, she was so beautiful, he was afraid the Egyptians were going to murder him and take his wife, that he secretly said she was his sister and gave her to Pharaoh. Everyone's like, ooh, I know, right? Sarah, who didn't believe that God could, give birth to her because she was 90, said, Abraham, sleep with my servant girl, and God will fulfill his promise through her. And Abraham's like, okay. He didn't say no. He didn't, like, talk to her about it. He's like, are you sure? Okay. On my way. Abraham had a lot of imperfections, flaws, sin, and shortcomings, but Abraham responded in faith. And you watch as from him all the way to Jesus, all of these guys, and men and women, were very flawed, oftentimes very sinful. From Abraham, Isaac was flawed, Jacob was flawed. Jacob tricked his blind father into giving him the blessing and not his older brother, and his very name means deception. Moses had plenty of imperfections. He couldn't speak, he stuttered, and yet he was the one who's supposed to prophesy, and he was a murderer. And you just look at all these stories from Joshua to Hannah, Rebecca, Gideon, David, just imperfect people who had so many flaws, so many shortcomings. None of them were saints, and yet all of them fulfilled God's destiny. Why? Not because they were perfect, but because they responded in faith. God said, I will make you a blessing, and you will be a blessing to the world. And they said, yes, Lord, I receive. And you do see how God made them better through the process of faith. He didn't say, get things perfect and be perfect, and then we'll see if I make covenant with you. No. They believed God, and it was accredited to them as righteousness. That's good news. Because the thesis of this family, of which we are all a part now through the cross and resurrection of Jesus, is that despite their imperfections, God got them to their destiny. Stop telling God all the reasons why he's not going to get you to your destiny. Stop telling God all the reasons why you're a mess up, or you're a failure, or you're an addict, or you're sick, or you're clumsy, or foolish, or embarrassed. You're so much more than that. The Word of God says you're chosen, it says you're called, it says you're blessed, it says you're loved, it says you're forgiven, it says you're righteous. And that's why today, as we sort of finish this series, I come to the last name of God, which is Jehovah Tzidkenu. I am the Lord, your righteousness. He's your righteousness. He's your righteousness. I think the greatest barrier to faith today is shame. Shame says something like, I am not worthy of love and belonging. I need to prove myself. Shame is a constant sense of deep embarrassment about something in my life. I'm embarrassed that I'm not where I wanted to be. I'm embarrassed that I continue to struggle with sin or failure. I'm embarrassed that I haven't succeeded in the way that my peers have. Shame looks like strictness, rigidity, fear, and faith is the opposite of that. Faith says that despite my shortcomings, my justification is not in me, it's in Jesus. I'm not righteous because of what I've done. I'm righteous because of what Christ did for me. And when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished, and he meant it. And now I can come boldly before the throne of God, redeemed, forgiven, loved. And it is by grace through faith. You receive God's unending, unmerited favor and love for you by faith. Just believe it and watch heaven open up to you. This is what Paul talks about in Romans, our scripture reading for today. It's interesting, this is our only New Testament reading from the series. And I like this passage because Paul is giving us a commentary of Abraham. So you heard all the nasty things I said about Abraham, right? Listen to all the good things Paul says about him. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about, 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Do you believe God has power to do what he promised in your life? I do too. I do too. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was accredited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You have nothing to worry about. Just believe. Just believe that you are loved just as you are. Be at peace with your imperfections. Stop bullying yourself, beating yourself up, talking about how horrible you are. Pay attention to your self-talk and notice that many of the things that you are saying about yourself are not the things God is saying about you. God is saying you are loved, you are chosen, you are able. So believe that. The word of God is true and it endures forever. Paul, who wrote this passage in Romans, came out of a society immersed in shame. He was a Pharisee, you know, so like Pharisees were all about if you do everything perfectly, you're in, and if you mess up, you're out. And so here you see that Paul, who struggled with strictness, now becomes this guy who teaches us, no, it's not by being perfect, it's by living by faith. And you watch how vulnerable he is. He says, I do the things I shouldn't do. I struggle with the things I shouldn't struggle with. I do what I hate. I don't do what I want to do. He talks about this thorn in his side. We don't even know what that was. Was that a sickness? Was it just an addiction, a sin? None of us know. What we do know is that it was imperfection. It was something Paul hated. And despite it, God used him to change the world. God is going to use you to change the world. One of my favorite things that we learned from studying Paul that we ought to examine, and I need you to listen to this. So let me preface it this way. We should confess our sins. James says that, and I think John says that, so it's mentioned only twice in the New Testament, but towards the end. But Paul, the author of the majority of the New Testament, never says to confess our sins. This is super important because in Christianity, it seems like there's a lot of emphasis on confessing your sins. And yes, you should confess your sins from time to time. But Paul, who hates sin, who talks about how sin is death and how sin cuts us from God, says to confess in faith the lordship of Christ over your sin. To confess that you are justified. To confess grace. To confess that he who knew no sin became sin, that I might be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul teaches us in a religion that says confess your sin and feel bad and beat yourself up. Paul says confess you're the righteousness of Christ. Confess that. It's the enemy's voice, by the way, that says you're worthless. You're a sinner. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. When you hear yourself, or when you hear the voice saying, you're worthless, you're a sinner, you're a mess up, you're a screw up, you don't belong, and you say that to yourself, you are agreeing with the devil. When we bully ourselves and others, we're agreeing with the enemy. The Bible calls him the persecutor of the brethren. But when we say over ourselves, all things are possible, we are agreeing with Jesus. When you say over yourself, I can do this because of what he's given me, you're agreeing with Jesus. When you say, I'm loved, I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm blessed, you're agreeing with Jesus. When you take a step on the water, when you step in the direction of the thing you're afraid of, you are living by faith and not by shame, and that pleases God. Do you believe it? I believe it for you. He's called you. He's chosen you because we serve a God who loves to use imperfect people to do impossible things. It's good news. So, you are not what you do, but you will do great things. And this is so important that very often the reason we don't do the great things in life that we want to do is because we have our identity rooted in what we do. It is only at the point that our identity is rooted in the belovedness of God that we get all the freedom, joy, and fresh vision we need to do amazing things. What makes people great is giving up their identity and what they do so that they can do great things for God, despite what it will say about their reputation. So let go. Let go of what people say about you. Let go of your reputation. Let go of all those things that you think matter so much. Let go of everything and fix your eyes on Him and take a step out of the boat in faith. All right? And watch as God does great things in your life. He's already doing great things, but He's going to do even more. Amen.
Amen.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Vrienden van Hour of Power, ik vond het fijn om deze uitzending te mogen presenteren. Leuk dat jullie er waren. We gaan nog even gezellig napraten. Volgende week hoopt Bobby zijn serie te vervolgen. Volgende week ook als speciale gast Jacob Buter. Hij komt uit Urk. Dat is een hele christelijke plaats. Maar alles ging verkeerd in zijn leven. Hij raakte aan de drugs, aan lage wal en vond zijn geloof weer terug. Een mooi verhaal. Vrienden van Hour of Power, ik hoop tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via social media, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige geschenken die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.